into roots and of the faith. And plus, Passover has such a special meaning, part of which I think we're going to touch on today in the radio program, because not only is it the deliverance of the Hebrews from Egypt, it's our deliverance from sin in the present and will be our deliverance from this world when Jesus comes back. So there's all that wrapped up in Passover. So if you would maybe like to attend, you can just drop me a line at pastorjim@bohmglobal.com and I'll put you on our list. I just kind of need to know how many are coming, so I know how many chairs to set up. But we're looking forward to that, and that again is this Wednesday, April 27th. So I just want to send out a blessing to everyone, and praise God, I see Pastor is here. Hallelujah. So real happy about that. I'm glad she made it through the traffic here in Clearwater, which, because we're so close to the beach, it can be terrifying at times. But I just want to praise God because we've got a great show. We've been talking about faith up to overflowing. We're kind of finishing that up with talking about how God wants us to heal, to be healed and to be prosperous. Body, soul, and spirit. I'm not just talking financially, of course, but prospering means to be in a position to bless others. And that's what God really wants to do for us, is put us in a position so that we can be healthy and have enough financially, enough materially, so that we can bless others with what, you know, with what God has given us. And we've actually seen that work here at Beacon of Hope, because right now we are tithing to a church in Mexico, which is kind of an outreach of Beacon. And God has just blessed us so that we can bless them even more. And that's what it's all about, is blessing God. So that's a wonderful thing. And so we're just rejoicing. And I can't wait to get into the Word and just rejoice. So as Pastor finishes setting up, just getting into the Word and really rejoicing in what He's done. So I just want to give thanks and praise to God for being here today and for everything that He's done in my life and I'm sure in everyone's life. So praise God. Pastor, are you on?
I am on the air. How about that? I've been flying, Pastor Jim.
One never flies in beach traffic.
Well, I'm out at the beach for a few days vacation, and I thought I left in plenty of time, 50 minutes. And
holy moly.
But you know what? It was just backed up at every light. I don't know what was going on, but I apologize, audience, but Pastor Jim is wonderful. I started texting him, pray for green lights, Pastor Jim. So here we are. I'm excited about this show, and Betty's coming on in a little while, and I tell you what, this is kind of the culmination, PJ, of all these weeks that we have been talking about the resurrection, the crucifixion, what Jesus did on the cross, why we celebrate it every year. All of this, I heard you just talking about Passover as I walked in, and mm-hmm. That's great, and we're going to be doing that this Wednesday night, and everybody's welcome. And it's such a blessing every year when we do this, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. It is, because it's not just a ritual. It's a reenactment.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
It's a reenactment, first of all, of what God did for the Hebrews. And like I mentioned before, but it's also putting us in remembrance that Christ is our Passover lamb.
Amen.
You know, Jesus, the Messiah, is our Passover.
Yes.
And so it applies in that sense that, you know, He was sacrificed for us. Therefore, Paul says, therefore, let us keep the feast.
Amen. Yes.
So it's not something that we as a church can't do because it's maybe too Jewish. Paul commanded the church to do it.
Absolutely. And, you know, since we've started doing that the last few years, there's been such a greater awareness in our people of what it all means, what the resurrection means. And so we encourage all of you, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, any of you are welcome, and join us 50, or 3508 Almerton Road at the Red Roof Inn now.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to start saying Red Roof, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been Ramada for a while. We had our own building until about a year and a half ago, and we gave that up, and God just is moving us out to do new things. I heard you talking about our Thursday night Go Yard Show, which is great. The Mexico stuff that's going on, we'll talk about more later. And if you have your Bible, you can go to Isaiah 52, where we will be beginning in just a moment. And let me get this song set up. It's going to be Whom Shall I Fear by Chris Tomlin. You want to talk about that, PJ?
Well, it's one of Chris's newer songs. It's a few years old, but it's a great song because just listen to the message. Whom shall I fear? If God is for me, you know, who can stand against
me?
Oh,
amen.
You know?
Amen. Love it. So, time to come out of our fear. Walk in faith.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the
Amen. Nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. Let's begin with prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for what you are going to get done on this show. Lord, we give you the glory before we ever see what you're going to do, that the lives that will be affected by this message of grace and mercy, this message of healing, this message of your greatness and your desire that we prosper and be in health even as our souls prosper. Lord, we come to you ready, eager to get into your word, excited because you are God. You are the great Almighty God, and you love us so much, and you have provided so much for us, and we just need to learn what that is and walk in it. And so, Lord, we give you the glory and praise today, Pastor Jim and Betty and I, as we bring the word of God to this audience scattered around the globe. You get the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Woo, all right. We're going to culminate this Faithed Up to Overflowing series with talking about the prophecy from Isaiah. that was given to him by the Lord 700 or 800 years before the Messiah actually appeared on this earth. And we are going to start with Isaiah 52. There, I'm going to start with verse 7, PJ, because I just love that. How beautiful in the mountains are the feet of the messenger bringing good news. And that, of course, talks about Jesus, but it also applies to us today, doesn't it?
Oh, amen.
Woo.
Amen.
You know, we're starting a new series next week, and the title of it is Right at the Fork. And it has everything to do about the ministry of feet. Kind of weird, isn't it? It's about the path you're on, and it's a good thing. It's going to be a fantastic series as Pastor Jim and I teach it, and we look forward to all that. So be sure and tune in next week for the beginning of this new series. But today we want to finish up with what we've been talking about during the resurrection season, about the fact that Jesus, the coming of the Messiah, was prophesied 700 or 800 years before he came to this earth. PJ, do you want to comment anything on Isaiah here before we go to verse 13 of chapter 52?
You mean the prophet himself?
Yeah, about him, a little bit about him, so people know.
He prophesied during the reigns of kings Jotham, Uzziah, Ahaz, and Hezekiah.
Okay.
So then. And he walked. if you read the accounts also in the book of Kings. He kind of hung out with the royalty. I mean, and he was there. He was like in the court quite a bit. He was confronting, especially King Ahaz,
right?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
And he's more than likely a lot of people's favorite prophet, only because.
Okay.
Well, he's my favorite, except maybe for Daniel and Joel and a few others, but. But because he covers not only judgment, the judgment on Israel for their sins, but also their restoration.
Yes.
I mean, he saw that they would be carried off into Babylon. And he even prophesied about King Cyrus, the king of Persia, attacking and defeating Babylon.
Right.
So he saw all that. But also, probably more than any other prophet, he saw the coming of the Messiah.
Yes.
And, you know, the book of Isaiah is just chock full of prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. And unfortunately, it is very possible that under Hezekiah's worthless, heretical, blasphemous, pagan son,
Manasseh, have been a good guy.
No, Manasseh.
Right, Manasseh.
Isaiah was martyred, basically, by King Manasseh. There's that line in Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of the faith, sawn in two.
Right.
A lot of people think that refers to Isaiah.
Isaiah, sawn in two. Wow. Wow. Well, you made some very valid points there. And I'll tell you, one of them is that at Christmas time, we go back to Isaiah over and over, where the prophecies about the birth of Jesus are right there in Isaiah. But today we're talking about the death and why this was significant, because it applies to us today for the healing of our bodies. I put a little picture on Facebook a little while ago, and I said, today we're talking about, actually the verse is 3 John verse 2, "Beloved, we wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And that is God's desire for us. And if that is God's desire for us, we need to see where that comes into being in the Word. So we're going to start with Isaiah 52, right above verse 13. In my Bible, I have the Message Bible. It says, "It was our pains he carried." And I love that little subject line right there. It was our pains he carried. And verse 13 of Isaiah 52, "Just watch my servant blossom, exalted, tall, head and shoulders above the crowd." But he didn't begin that way. First, everyone was appalled. He didn't even look human. "A ruined face, disfigured past recognition." What's that about, Pastor Jim?
Isaiah saw what would be happening to Jesus when he was flogged.
When he was
the day
beaten.
Yeah,
yes.
Just before his crucifixion, when he was beaten.
Yes.
You know, we mentioned it before that it was basically a Roman cat of nine tails that would dig into the skin and just basically shred it.
Shred it up,
And they punched him.
Right.
You know, they punched him and all that. So it was not...
It's not pretty, was it?
It was not pretty.
No. But it's interesting that he even, that in this prophecy, he realizes, he sees it probably in the spirit, that he was so disfigured, ruined face, past recognitions. And then the next line, nations all over the world will be in awe, taken aback, kings shocked into silence when they see him. For what was unheard of, they'll see with their own eyes. What was unthinkable, they'll have right before them. And really, it's just talking about how the gospel spreads, doesn't it, Pastor Jim? And I know it. We just got through the resurrection season a few weeks ago. We're still in it with Passover, the Jewish Passover. But it is appalling when people watch movies like The Passion and things like that to see how badly Jesus was beaten and disfigured. But there is a reason for that. There's hope here, because it's not just that he was terribly mistreated, but he was beaten and he was bruised, it says, and he was, his beard was pulled out, a crown of thorns on his head, blood running there, you know, his back just turned to pieces. All of it for a reason. That's what this show is all about today. You want to comment on that? Betty, did you join us on the line?
Yes, ma'am, I am
all
here.
Right.
Hey, Betty.
Hey, so
hi,
good.
Pastor PJ, how are you?
Pastor PJ.
I'm good. How about you?
Well, I'm doing all right. I have a feeling that the enemy did not want this show to go off today.
You think?
Betty, there is no... Go ahead. Go ahead. You're not feeling great, so you're going to feel better and better during this show.
Oh, yeah. I said, as you know, as time goes on, the devil's defeated and we are victorious. And praise God for his mercy and his grace.
Woo! And let me tell you, Betty and PJ and audience, there's not a worse feeling than to be caught in traffic coming and you can't do a darn thing about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I underestimated it on a Sunday afternoon coming clear out from the beach area. I slid in here about 3 after, and Pastor Jim started the show. So thank God you were here, PJ, to do that.
Praise God.
Yes.
Praise God.
All right. Isaiah 53, verse 1 says, who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? I don't know. You can read it in verse 1, Pastor Jim, in whatever translation you have today. That's from the Message Bible I just read.
Okay, I've got New King James today.
Okay, well, that's good.
Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?
Wow. Same type of concept, though.
Yeah.
Who would believe how bad this is going to be for Jesus in the flesh?
Well, yeah, and who's going to believe everything that follows after?
Right.
I mean, because this whole chapter is nothing but fulfilled prophecy from verse 1 to verse 12. It's just fulfilled prophecy about the death and burial and the resurrection.
And the resurrection.
That's even in here, too, of Jesus.
And 12 verses to be this powerful that we're devoting a whole show to these verses. And we couldn't even get there last Wednesday night at Bible study. You and I both
intended to.
Oh, my gosh. You know, oh, yeah, it just couldn't happen. We just had so much other ground to cover. But today we've got 2 hours to talk about this, and I couldn't be more excited about this because, let me tell you, this is a perfect show to end this series we've been doing on Faithed Up to Overflowing, because if this material does not increase your faith today, something's wrong with you. And so I guarantee you, and I don't mean that in a bad way or derogatory or anything, it's just that this chapter will cause your faith to soar today. I guarantee you. Let's look at verse 2 of Isaiah 53. The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. What servant are we talking about here?
Jesus.
So he just grew up as an ordinary kid. You know how that you go through that gangly stage as a, when you get into the, like, I don't know, 8, 10, 12, 13, 14 age, it just seems like clothes don't fit right. You don't feel right. You go start going through puberty, whatever. Jesus went through all of that, didn't he, Pastor Jim? Because he was fully human.
He was fully human.
Would you explain that concept? And then we're going to get to Betty in a minute.
It's probably one of the greatest mysteries. And, you know, used to be I tried to think about it a lot and try and figure out, you know, I love church history and how the fathers fought about that whole concept. I finally came to the decision, you know what? It's just one of those things I'm going to have to ask when I get up there.
Right. How could you be fully human and God?
And fully God. I mean,
right. Right.
He became human without losing any of his divinity.
Right.
And yet the divinity did not swallow up the humanity. That's the amazing part.
Yeah.
I mean, he grew up with every human experience that we've had.
Yes.
I mean, otherwise he couldn't have taken those to the cross. He had every experience that we have.
Praise God.
And, you know, it's almost unimaginable.
Oh,
but,
it
I mean,
is.
Being fully human, I mean, he was hungry, he got angry, he got tired. You know, all those emotions that we have, Jesus had. Thankfully, in his humanity, he depended upon the Father, so he didn't blow the planet away. You know, I was thinking about that the other day, slight diversion here, and I'm so glad Jesus is God and God is love, because I was driving home, and you know how I am when I drive sometimes.
Yes.
You know, people just, you know, when they drive crazy, it just makes me kind of nuts.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, Lord, I am so happy you have not given me omnipotency, because I would have blown half these drivers off the road.
Oh, my.
So I'm thankful he gives us what we can handle.
Oh, amen. You know? What do you think about all that, Betty? I mean, golly, PJ admits his faults there.
Well, you know what? When we get to Florida, I am not riding with PJ.
No, don't ride with PJ.
No.
I'm a good driver. I just get a little irritated.
We're so glad, by the way, that
you
and Megan and the kids are coming in a few weeks, and that's exciting. We're looking forward to that and having you right live on the show here. You know, that'll be great.
It'll be awesome. And you guys were talking about the gangling stage while I'm still in it. I never left it.
Yeah.
I'm still gangling and don't know what to wear, don't know what to do, don't know about my hair. But thank God that, you know, the person that they're talking about here in Isaiah 53 saves me from all of that.
Amen.
You know, it's amazing to me. And I'm on Facebook, and I look at all of the pictures that people post.
Right.
And how they like them. And then you look at the ones that show Jesus, you know, walking down the road, carrying the cross, you know, being beaten, being disfigured, and it still brings me to tears.
Right.
Seeing, you know, even though I'm sure that those are not realistic pictures of what he actually looked like. It's just reproductions of, and you know, of movies and so forth. But it still brings me to tears to know what he did for us.
Oh, amen. And isn't it so cool that the Father God thought it best in his plan for salvation for us to send his only son to this earth to live among us and be human like us, so he could really, of course he created us, but this way he could really understand our emotions and the junk we go through. Don't you think, Betty? I mean, we've got a Jesus, our intercessor, who sits at the right hand of the Father now, who totally gets us, you know?
Well, he does, and he understands when we back ourselves in a corner, or we're between a rock and a hard place. You
right.
know, some of those old quotations.
Yeah.
Is that he was there.
Right.
He went through it. We're there, and he's going to bring us through it.
Yes.
And because he's been through it. And
right.
And he knows the suffering. He knows the tears. He knows the heartache that we go through, but then he also sees us from a different standpoint. He sees us as redeemed.
Oh, amen.
He sees us as saved. He sees us out of that darkness that we've sometimes put ourselves in.
Right.
Or the circumstances that we're in. is that he sees that, he sees us as the light. He sees us as salt. He sees us as someone who is, who he's proud of.
Yes.
Who he loves more than anything else in this world is us.
Right.
It's mind-blowing.
Oh, it is.
Blow your mind, you know, some of this generational talk, blow your mind. It does. It does me. How can Jesus, after what I've done, after what I've been through in the past, but that I can ask for forgiveness,
right,
for whatever sin that I've committed daily, by minute, whatever, that he forgives us.
Oh, amen.
Immediately when we ask, it doesn't, he doesn't carry it over and hang it over our head. He forgives us immediately.
Yes.
Never to be remembered again.
If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Unrighteousness.
Praise God. So, going on with Isaiah 53, and I so agree with everything you just said, there was nothing attractive about him. I think I'm in about verse 3. Nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over. A man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. Now, you can tell us what your translation says there, PJ, in just a minute. But I know that we have listeners today who understand pain in their bodies. I think most of us do. Most of us have had, every time I hear somebody say, I've never had a headache in my entire life, I just got to wonder about that. You know, or somebody who says, I've never had a pain in my body, my whole, okay, all right. I don't know how that can happen. I don't know how any of us can go through life and never, you know, sprain an ankle or have a bad headache or, you know, whatever the case may be. And Jesus knew pain firsthand. Now, I don't know the Hebrew word there for pain, but it probably included physical, emotional, and all of the pain. Do you have a comment on that, PJ?
Well, I was just reading the alternate translations here, so I want to read verse 3 using the alternates.
Okay, do.
He was despised and forsaken by man.
Right.
A man of pains and acquainted with sickness.
Okay, there you go. That explains right there.
Yeah, and we hid our faces from him.
Right.
He was despised and we esteemed him not.
Right. So the point is, how can he be the healer of our bodies if he does not know what that feels like, right? If he does not know what sickness feels like or a bad headache. He was acquainted with pain, and that is so significant. Talk to us about that, PJ, and then I'll go to Betty on that point. Why is that important that he had to go through pain?
Because he suffered for us, not just for our sins, but for everything we would go through. So
right.
When he was on the cross, he took not just all our sins, which would have been enough, as we'll say on Wednesday night, Dienu, it would
yes.
have been enough.
Right.
He took our everything.
Right.
Our sin and everything associated with it, because it's from sin that we get emotional pain.
That's right.
Physical pain, sickness, all that is a result of sin. And he took all of that on
right.
himself. I don't know how, like Betty, it's like, I just know he did.
Yes.
Scripture says that he did, and how wonderful that is.
Oh,
that
wow.
He's, you know, when I'm in pain, when I'm in sorrow, when I'm physically ill, Jesus already took that to the cross.
Right.
I mean, he's taking care of it. All I have to do is come to him with it and leave it there.
Exactly. You know, one of the things on this show we want to do is debunk some of the common myths. And I just came away without a pen today, PJ, so I'll let you write it down. But the first one, because we want to go back and make these points over and over again during the show. The first point that this myth that we want to debunk today is that God puts sickness on people as a punishment. Okay, he was familiar with the pains, the sicknesses, tired, achy muscles from living in this world. We have viruses, we have bacteria, we have diseases that are contagious. There are things around us, but God does not put sickness, pain, disease on us as punishment. Our own circumstances, the world in which we live, the sin that possibly we've committed, sometimes open us up. That's your point. I
exactly.
want to go back and make your point again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the point. I mean,
right.
You know, Paul says, basically, we reap what we sow.
We do.
If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap destruction. Duh. And if we reap to the Spirit, we're going to harvest eternal life.
That's right.
And, you know, it's almost like, okay, think of it, because I read this actually in devotional that I use. Earlier this week, it was that there's no disharmony among the Godhead, among the Father, Son, and
right.
Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So if the Father's out putting sickness on people, why was Jesus taking it off of them?
That's a great point. You know? I like that.
You know, that it would make no sense.
Right.
It just would make no sense.
Yeah, it would make no sense. If God put sickness on us and then he says, oh, but Jesus can heal you.
Right, because Jesus said, I'm only doing what I'm seeing the Father doing.
Right.
So obviously he was not seeing the Father putting sickness on anyone.
Right. You know, get ready to ring your bell, because I'm going to make this point one more time very, very strongly. Point number one, God does not have sickness in heaven. He cannot and does not punish us with sickness and pain. Those are things that happen in this natural world. There we go. Betty, I want you to comment on all of that, girl.
Well, I tell you what. If God was to put sickness on us, from what I've heard you say, we'd all be dead.
None of us.
Seriously.
Good point.
I would use myself as an example. You know, before I became a Christian, I did some things that just weren't real pleasing in God's eyes.
I'm glad I didn't know you then, man. I don't know. You were wild, huh?
I was really wild. I'm more wild and crazy then than I am now, but because I'm not wild and crazy.
No.
But one thing we want to reiterate is that God is our buffer.
Yes. Yes.
For a lot of things that goes on in our life.
Oh, amen.
Kind of like a flu shot. You know, you may get a flu shot, but like me, you still may get sick. But it's never as bad as what it would have been if I had not had a shot.
Right.
Now, that's a very poor example of what we were talking about.
No, that's a good example.
But I think that, you know, we are born of the King. Jesus wants to see us walk in good health.
Yes.
He wants us to be that way. And for someone, and this was a debate many years ago about who puts this on us.
Right.
And when you have kids, well, kids all came up with the devil.
Yeah.
The devil is what makes us sick. Sin makes us sick.
Right.
And it all boils down to that. Even you may disagree with me on this, please do, is that we may not see our healing come immediately when we pray.
No, I agree with that.
It may come later on.
It
may come through different avenues. It may come through a doctor, or it may come through a miracle.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. But we can't give up hope.
That's
We've
right.
We've got to have the faith to overflow.
Yes.
To know that God still sits on the throne. Jesus is still our healer.
Right.
He's Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer.
Yes.
And we have to hold on to that, and we have to hold tight to that.
Yes.
And I had a vision just a few minutes ago of a person sitting in a wheelchair, and they've prayed and they've prayed and they've prayed to be able to heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me. And the one God wants to hear is, thank you for healing me.
Yes.
Thank you for taking me out of this wheelchair. God, if you don't take me out of this wheelchair, maybe I won't get out of this wheelchair until I reach the heavenly, you know, till I reach your heavenly throne. And
whoa, we just lost you.
Are you there?
Yeah, now you're back.
It's just, I want to contradict what you say, but I think God can heal us in various avenues that he allows us to be in.
Right.
Well, like you said.
And there may be things,
or whatever.
Right. I mean, I've seen people healed instantaneously. I've seen people healed over time because God sometimes has to work something out. Remember those blind men? You know, it took them twice.
Right.
You know, first he said, "What do you see?" And exactly. They said, "Well, we see men, but they look like trees walking."
Yeah.
You know, something from The Hobbit, perhaps. But then, you know, Jesus made that spittle mud stuff again. Right. And then they were healed.
Right.
And, yeah, sometimes, you know, unforgiveness is a horrible block.
Yes. Yes, it is.
You know, that can block a person's bitterness.
Yes.
Anger against God. Because, you know, some people think, well, God, heal me, even though you gave this to me and I'm mad at you about it.
Right.
There's so many things and we don't know on this side maybe what those are unless God divinely reveals them to us. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes it happens in an instant. We've seen that happen.
Oh, we have. Yes, absolutely.
We've seen progressive healing.
Absolutely.
And, again, Betty, you're absolutely right. There's that old, just popped into my head, that old song by Twyla Paris, God is in Control.
Right.
You know, it's. You know, we have to remember he's still in control.
Right.
And it's going to, it's going to happen.
I agree with all of that. And I also believe that a lot of times God is more interested in the process that we go through and where we need to change in our attitudes. Like you mentioned, yeah. Unforgiveness being a block. Where we need to faith up and get in the Word and mm-hmm. believe and pray according to the Word. God, a lot of times, is more interested in the process that he's doing in us. And PJ, I think that'll go right along with this song, and I think it's one of your favorites by Sidewalk Prophets. Help me find it.
Yeah, but I'll get the Kleenex.
All right. Why does that song speak to this concept?
Well, it's talking about just giving everything to God. I mean,
yes.
I love kind of the irony in this. Make me lonely so that I can seek you.
Yes.
You know, make me this so that
it's
I can
process.
Seek you.
It's the process. Yeah, the song is all about the process. Oh, listen. Great song by Sidewalk Prophets.
To seem so clear, I'm finding I can't do this on my own. I don't know where to go from here. As long as I know that you are near, I'm done fighting, I'm finally letting go. I will trust in you, you've never failed before. I will trust in you. If there's a road I should walk, help me find it. If I need to be still, give me peace for the moment. Whatever your will, can you help me find it? Can you help me find it? I yeah.
Yes, Lord, we want to understand so often what you're doing in our lives. Help me find all of that. And we're talking today about healing, walking in peace, walking in victory. Pastor Jim, so listening to those lines again, what does that do for you? And then I'm going to Betty. I'm sorry.
I really like that song.
Isn't that great?
You know, if I love the chorus, if there's, you know, a road I need to be on, let me find it.
Yes.
Because sometimes we think we're on the right road and God right. may be saying, nope, need you to go that way or that way. If I love the line, if I need to be still, give me peace for the moment.
Yes. It's hard to do.
Because sometimes we always, you know, sometimes we just think we have to be so busy, but sometimes God says, be still and know that literally that means cease.
Right.
And know that I am God.
You're giving a perfect intro to our new series, Right at the Fork.
There you go.
I think it's verse 4, maybe. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried. Is that the verse? It was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. Now, I'm reading out of the Message Bible, and I'll let Pastor Jim tell us what translation, read from his in just a minute. The word carried there is in the Hebrew word nasa, N-A-S-A. And the way I memorized it many years ago, it helps me remember, is our space program for the United States is NASA, N-A-S-A. And the meaning of this word in the original Hebrew, which the way that Isaiah wrote it as inspired by God, was it means to lift, to bear away, to carry away, to cast away, to take, to ease, to erase. That's what that word means, that he carried. It means just like if you think of a rocket going up in the air and taking a payload of supplies to the space station. Well, it's carrying them. It's bearing it away from the earth. It's carrying it away. In this word, in the original Hebrew in which it was written, is the word NASA, N-A-S-A, and it means to bear, to lift, to carry away, all of that. Betty, what does that do for you? And then we'll go to PJ for his comments on this. Woo!
Well, it makes you think about the weight that he carried when he went to the cross. And when I say weight, the things that he took or carried with him, our sins, our sickness, depression, fear, anxiety, all of that went with him.
Amen.
When he
Amen.
Went. And it still brings me to my knees when I think about what all he's through. And sometimes we don't even think about that. We think more seeing him on the cross. But think of the time leading up to from the time that he was born, from the time that he was you know, in puberty or whatever you want to call it during that time.
Yeah.
Is it started then and it carried over to when he was 33 years old at that point in time, what all he did see, what all he did carry
right.
with him went to the cross. And it's to me, it would be totally unbearable to even take one or two items like that and try to carry it with you. But because he loved us so much, he did it. He did it for us. And that's what I think we need to be more.
Yes.
We need to think about when we think about Jesus, we think about what he did for us.
Oh, amen.
Why he did it.
And I mean, he carried it away. You know, our minds can't really imagine, and we can't wrap our minds around the fact that Jesus took every pain, every sickness, every disease, every emotional struggle, everything in his body on the cross. It's hard for us to even fathom that. But he carried it away. He bore it. You want to talk about that, PJ?
Yeah. This actually has its roots in the Day of Atonement.
Right.
Because not only were there blood sacrifices for the altar and the mercy seat and all that, but one of the things was the scapegoat.
Yes.
And the high priest would lay his hands on the scapegoat, confess over that goat the sins of Israel, and then they sent it off. It bore the sins away in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And
back in the Old Testament, that's what they did once a year. And so they had that absolution once a year.
Right. So here He lifted up all those sins once for all, as the book of Hebrews talks about.
Once for all.
He took them out in the wilderness once for all.
Yes.
That's why elsewhere, you know, we can say as far as in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. That's how far away he bore
Amen.
Them.
So it bears the point here. If Jesus did exactly what Isaiah said that he was going to do 700 years from then, which we know he did do that, okay, then why do we carry, why do we think that we need to carry junk from the past, pain in our body? And I have heard people for years, this is number two on your list, Pastor Jim, that you're putting there. Another myth we are debunking today. You do not need to suffer for the Savior. You do not need to carry things he already bore and took from you. He already took in his body on the cross all your anxiety, all your panic, all your cancer, all your heart disease, all those things. But there is a myth going around that if I suffer for the Savior, I am more spiritual. A lot of S's there. Suffering for the Savior makes spirituality? No, no, no. Second point we are debunking today.
Well then, and there's a certain branch of the Christian church, actually two major branches, that really tend to keep that alive, that falsehood, that, you know, a lot of their greatest saints are sufferers. I'm serious.
I know what you're talking about. Yes,
I'm turning my sufferings over for Christ. Well, he doesn't want them.
Right.
I'm sorry. He already took them.
He already took them.
He already has them.
Yes. We're not suffering for the Savior.
Exactly.
No.
I mean, yes, there's a lot to be said for self-denial and fasting and stuff
like that.
Sure,
that's different. That's a different
thing.
Exactly,
and I want to make that point. That's very, very different.
Right.
This is saying, oh, I've got this cancer, and I'm just going to suffer through it to give God glory. No, God does not get glory when you're sick. He gets glory when you're healed.
Amen. Ring the bell on that. Oh, my gosh. All right, Betty. Talk to us. Pastor Jim's in the studio. I'm in the control room, so I don't have access to the bell that I love. But anyway, go with that, Betty, and talk about that. Why is it people think they need to suffer for the Savior and he already took all of that on him?
I think that this is a very deep subject, and I'm glad that you're bringing this up.
Okay.
That, you know, the two theologians in the control room and on the panel have much more resolution to know why. But I think one of the things that we do is that sometimes we think we deserve it.
That's it. Yes.
Or sometimes we think that if we go through the trials and tribulations, that sometimes in that thinking, we need to back up just a hair and say, God, I'm not going any farther with this. I'm laying it down.
Right.
I am surrendering it to you, because they feel like sometimes we have to carry this. I don't want to carry any more than what I have to.
Right.
And when I think about it, I surrender and I give it to God. Now, sometimes in haste, maybe if I'm having a busy day, I've been in the Word, I haven't been praising God, I mean, I'm vulnerable for attacks of the enemy to say, hey, you remember you just had triple bypass surgery, well, you're going to die of a heart attack.
Right.
And then you look back and you think back, no, wait a minute. You know, 2,000 years ago, a man died for me.
That's exactly right.
And that's where we have to go with that, I believe. I'm sure that, you know, you can add something to that. But if it all boils down to is that we have to keep our faith like flint.
That's right.
We have to keep on going.
Amen.
And realizing that we don't have to take this anymore, that we are overcomers in Christ.
Amen.
We are children of the King. We are precious to God.
Yes.
And that's just like, you know, my kids are precious. My grandkids are precious. that's how God sees us even 10 times greater, is that, you know, we were created in his image.
Amen.
Would he let us carry more than what we can handle? No.
No.
Get rid of it, put it at the foot of the cross, and let it go.
Amen.
And that's the key thing for today is let it go.
Let it go.
Get rid of it. Praise him for the answer.
Right.
And because a lot of answers come through praise. And
Amen. And you know, when we get to this point of revelation where we understand what's being taught today, we understand that Jesus already took our sins, our sicknesses, our pains, mm-hmm. our emotional junk, our awful things that have happened to us in our lives. When we realize that he already took those, we no longer have a valid reason to feel sorry for ourselves. You know, that suffering for the Savior a lot of times goes right into self-pity. A lot of S's there, Pastor Jim. But I think that's what happens. And a lot of people get a lot of attention from suffering for the Savior. They get a lot of attention, wrong attention. That's my point. As a pastor, I've seen it for years.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm not demeaning any of those two denominations was mentioning that suffered. Because I think some of them really were humble. They were just
yes.
wrongly taught.
Right.
Because, you know, some people think, well, I'm bearing my own sins. Excuse me.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. Jesus
not your
already
job.
Did that.
That's not your job.
And you know, to say, well, this is the result of my sin. Well, Jesus forgave you your sin. Mm-hmm. That's already done.
Amen.
So let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Betty's right. Let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay, we are going to get right into our second hour in just a minute. But before we do, and we've got a whole lot more. Oh, my.
Yeah, an hour, and we got four verses.
Oh, my gosh. It may go into next week, mightn't it? I don't know. It might. But anyway, we are excited about what God is doing in the ministry at Beacon of Hope. We're in our 10th year on this radio show. We had our anniversary last week. Thank you. And it was our 9th anniversary for this show, Living the Good Life. And we started our 10th year today. Very, very excited about the future, what God has for this show, continuing on week after week. We love our radio station here, WTAN, and Clearwater, and Lola, and all the engineers, and all of the great work that's done here. And we just are thrilled to be a part of this radio family. And Thursday nights, I heard you talking about Pastor Jim Goyard. Betty, you want to make a comment of that? I don't think you ever miss a show, do you, on Thursday night, Dr. Angel and I?
I must confess my sin one to another.
Okay.
Last Thursday was the first show I've missed since your conception.
Whoa.
And I apologize for that. So I will go back and listen.
Boy, yeah, it was good. Yeah.
To the podcast. But Goyard is a phenomenal, groundbreaking radio show that helps us to understand in more simplistic ways of some of the things that, as a nation, that we go through, like depression, anger, sometimes marriage issues, financial issues, that you give us practical ways to overcome those issues. And, you know, with Dr. Angel Falzoni, PhD licensed counselor.
Yeah.
And yourself are just, I call you the dynamic duo because you feed each off of each other's comments. You give practical free counseling to all of us who take the time to listen. And
yeah.
I really appreciate you and Dr. Falzoni.
Thank you for saying that. It airs every Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. Eastern, right here on this station. And I want to mention that this show, Living the Good Life, airs also every Saturday and Sunday. Write this down, 4 words, starcomradionetwork.com. And we've been there on that station in 34, 36 cities and about several countries for the last year and a half or year and 4 months or so. And we want to give a shout out to our dear friend, the CEO, Ed Till, of that radio station, starcomradionetwork.com. This show comes on every Saturday and Sunday like this show we're doing right now today live. You can hear it this Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern, starcomradionetwork.com. And then the Go Yard Show, which means hit a home run in life instead of striking out. The Go Yard Show with Dr. Angel and me, Mama Mac, airs right after that each Saturday and Sunday at noon. StarcomRadioNetwork.com. No excuse to say you haven't listened, although I know, Betty, that you will catch up. We're in a series all about addiction, and this is, we just did part three. This week will be part four, and it's really good. Listen right now for station ID. We'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay.